Well, let's start with what is your musical background?
2 years of piano lessons.
Really?
Yep, that's about it.
That's about it.
And I was played trumpet in middle school, and yeah, piano was just never my thing. Actually studied graphic design in art studio. Yeah,
All right.
so
Well, what was it that first inspired you to write movie, TV, and movie and TV music?
I always like to go back to the Terminator 2 story. I
Oh, yeah.
just the whole point of that was sitting down. It was on TV one night, and we were eating corn dogs. And I finished my corn dogs, and then there's two little sticks, you know. So at the end of the, you know, while I was watching the movie, I was just banging my plate, you know, the theme to Terminator. So after that, I went into the living room where the piano was, and I sat down and just literally started playing by ear the Terminator theme, and I guess that's where it started. And I was like, that really was the point where, like, I really like movie music. You know, it can convey so many emotions and so many levels, and it was just a good place to start, I suppose.
Well, how did you first become involved with Star Trek of Gods and Men?
One of, actually, the guy who, I think he was the DP. I know he was the camera operator. I'm pretty sure that he had a lot more involvement with it, but he was actually the editor, the first editor of the film, and he actually cut the tra or cut the movie to my music as a temp score.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they had somebody else at one point, and they just, you know, asked, "Hey, you know, we're using your temp score. Why don't you give it a shot?" So I did, and you know, a few versions later, there's a whole new edit of the film, a whole new editor, and it's pretty much basically the same, but that's how I got started.
Okay. So now,
Yeah.
was there ever talk of be having an opportunity to use any of the Star Trek themes?
You know, this film is different than all the other Star Trek films, I think, and because of that, they wanted a different direction. Basically, it's one of those composers' dreams of saying, "All right, well, we like your work, just go for it." So they basically just let you loose and write something on it. And you know, there is a few themes, and I'm starting to bring in a little bit more, especially the Klingons. I scattered those in at about of Act Two. So, and there's three acts of the film, and I'm sure the third one will, I'll probably throw in some sort of Star Trek homage to it.
Okay. So what's it like being in that musical universe of Star Trek? Are you given any guidelines? Are you say you can't go this, you can't go this far with your music, but you can go, you can kind of stay in this area for Star Trek.
Well, I mean, I guess that's a great thing about science fiction and, you know, this epic universe that you're in. You have basically an epic amount of, you know, options to do. And of course, like a small little piano piece wouldn't exactly fit with a Star Trek film. I mean, there's been a lot of stereotypes of, you know, what is sci-fi? What is sci-fi music? Is it, you know, soundscapes? Is it ambience? Is it, you know, weird sounds that you would hear from, you know, nebulas or something, you know. But it's just, as you sit down and you write music, it eventually just starts to evolve, and you eventually pick up the same thing. And, you know, this particular project, I just had more percussive. So there's a lot more percussion driving everything around. So I guess that's how it started. But no, there was really no limitations. I mean, it's just a fun project to work on. And you know, I like those bigger than life kind of type of movies that really make you think, and this is just one of them.
Right. So now, what were the factors that influenced your own main theme?
One of the producers really liked one of my tracks, and he kept referring to it. It was called Alpha Command. And you know, I wrote the first act, and he's like, "I really like Alpha Command. I really like Alpha Command in this." And so I just kind of started recycling it, you know. I guess composers are allowed to recycle their own work. So, I didn't feel too bad about ripping myself off. But then again, I have heard that chord progression in a lot of other movies. I was watching, I don't know the name of the film, but I know there was something not too long ago. I was like, "Holy crap, that's the same chord progression as this track." And it kind of irritates you and, you know, frustrates you, but, you know, hopefully nobody's heard that before.
Does that make your Have you ever been in a situation? I've talked to a few composers where this has happened, where you've been sitting there and all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, that's something that I did.
Yeah, it happens. But there is only so many notes on a keyboard. There's only so many,
true,
you know, rhythms, so many speeds that you can write music at, and you're bound to hit the same keys that somebody else hit at one point in life. So I guess it's the whole thing of you can't reinvent the wheel, just make it kind of a little bit better or add a little bit more texture to it.
Okay. Well, now Tim Russ is the director on this. Of Gods and Men. How closely did you work with him on your music, or did he just kind of let you go and say, "Oh, just come back with something"?
I got an email pretty much saying, "Hey, like your work. I appreciate all of your help." And that's the extent of how much I've talked to him.
So not much collaboration then.
No, I think he gave it more into the producer's hands. He trusted them and just basically told him to run with it. And I guess that's a pretty big, bold decision to do. He did it.
All right.
I'm sure he talked to them about it, mm-hmm. what he thought, and I don't know how much musical background that he has or to be able to, to convey his thoughts, but one of the other guys had an idea, and I guess basically he just said, let me take it and run with it. Right. So they did. They let him.
Without giving too much away, there's music for the destruction of one of the major planets in the Star Trek universe, and the music was perfectly suited. How do you approach that kind of scene?
That particular scene, it's tragic, you know, what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you write something that's big and loud that really can, you know, kind of pull the heartstrings. And what does it better than a choir and dramatic whole notes? So, and if you just hit the right stuff at the right time, eventually you can bring it out and, you know, you add enough layers and harmonies and a lot of cymbal crashes and you can really... bring the arm hairs out. It's hard to describe how to start. You know, I would just start out with a string pad and just write big bombastic chords. And if it works, it works. And then if not, I'll erase it and start again.
Are you using a mock-up of an orchestra, or are you using live players sometimes too?
There hasn't been a single live player on this yet.
Ah.
The Act 3, I'm wanting to actually hire out a celloist. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
And then, of course, a vocalist. I'd love to have a female vocal, you know, angelically soar across everything. So I think that'd be really neat.
Okay. Well, what influences instrument choice?
I would say drums always drive a piece along, and you can always accent it with short strings, staccato notes. I don't know. I really can't explain how I just write. It's like you pick and choose an instrument, throw it in, see if it works, and as you're watching a particular scene back, you can actually hear, or I can hear an instrument like, ooh, that'd be really cool to throw in a really loud French horn brass sound here, or maybe accent it with a trumpet notes here, or, you know, once everything stops, you can just hit a pizzicato string of a low bass. So there's the range is limitless on what you can do and what you could throw in there, and it's just whatever sounds good. And if some of the sounds sound bad, or if it just seems really out of place, we'll take it out. Erase it and start over again.
Right. Now, because of Gods and Men is a three-part, what kind of timeline are you given? What kind of timeline were you given to compose the first section?
Because this project is considered a labor of love,
I see.
I've been, you know, kind of taking my time, but at the same time, I did write all of Act 1, half of Act 2, and then as soon as I found that out, they changed editors and rechanged the entire film. So that kind of set us back. Some of the special effects weren't completed. You know, there's always things like that that go along the way. So it just depends. You know, I have other projects that I have going on too, and just depends on the time. And I hope to get it as done as soon as possible because I know you guys are anxious to see it. And I don't want to be the one to be holding up the film. So I got to work as hard as I can to get it out.
Okay. So how what are you using to record your score? Are you using, is it going into, like, let's say Pro Tools, or what is it going in, what is it being used to record it?
Nope. I use a sampler called Giga Studio.
Okay.
And then my MIDI sequencer is Sonar. And basically I would load up all my samples into this program called Giga Studio, and then mm-hmm. Sonar is MIDI is an on and off, and then every time I hit a key on the keyboard it plays and triggers those sounds. And then once those are finished, then I would export them out into a final file, a WAV file, put them into a timeline. I use another program called Nuendo or Innuendo, whatever you want to call it, and line it up to the picture, line it up to the time code, and if it looks great, then I'll export it out, export it to an MP3, upload it to my server, send an email out to all the guys who are listening to it, get some feedback, and start it over.
Okay.
So, no Pro Tools.
No Pro Tools.
I'm a PC guy, actually.
Okay.
I'm a Maxius, actually.
So, when you deliver, is this the kind of thing where you would deliver the final, like, I've heard that it's some stuff comes on hard drive. Are you sending the cues through the internet to the editor, let's say?
Yeah, man, this entire project has been through the internet, from emails to, you know, all files that I've had, you know, all that. There's a lot of the special effects guys are all doing stuff over the internet. Now, I did get the DVD in the mail, but that was just a high quality version of the film, but I later compressed it down to a smaller version. But yeah, everything's strictly based through the internet.
Okay.
Digital. Yep.
So what has been the most rewarding aspect of composing music for Of Gods and Men?
You know, it's funny because when you're looking at a film and you're looking at people that you've seen, you know, throughout your childhood, you know, I love Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I loved all of it. And then you see these guys, you're like, wow, I'm actually writing music to these, what these guys are doing. So that was kind of neat. Of course, when you see them in real life, it's like you know them because you've stared at their faces for so long. And, you know, it's just kind of, it's kind of weird. And the fact that there's so many people that love Star Trek that are anxious to see this film, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that watch it, and I hope that it's a different enough approach and people will like it. They may have to stretch their imagination a little bit and, you know, understand that it is still a fan film and, you know, take it what it's worth. And I think the guys did an amazing job with it, and I think it's going to do great. You know, I just hope people enjoy it.
Okay. So have you started, I think you mentioned this, you've started doing music for the second section. How far ahead are you working right now?
I finished Act Two. It's done. Okay. Well, the first stages of it is. I'm still waiting on the feedback on particular parts. One thing is, you know, this project has been weird and difficult in the fact that it is broken down into three different films, three different acts, 30 minutes apiece at least. And when you have an entire score, you have that entire time to be able to develop the themes, go back, add elements here, or say you get to the end of the film and like, ooh, that's a really cool sound for this guy. Well, I'm going to take that drum cue and put it right back at the beginning or halfway through the film with this character again, and that defines that character. Well, with this, Act One's done, so now I can't go back to Act One and add stuff later. So that makes it really, really weird. And because I wish I could go back, maybe there'll be like another version. But that's where it's at. It's a little difficult. All but it's cool. It's neat because you have it's like another movie, I guess. So you can just add or develop the theme that you've already done because the other one's finished in the can. But yeah, it's just like three short films.